Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Project 223 podcast. Sure, glad to have you here with us today. It's going to be a great episode. We're going to be talking about some very important stuff today. You may have heard recently here, September 2023 on the horizon, new threats of COVID spreading throughout the country and the world. They're trying to put the fear back into you, get you ready for more restrictions. The threat is real. Also, election 2024 is just around the corner. And we see politicians taking legal actions against their opponents to try to keep them from being able to run in the election. There's some crazy times ahead of us. Even the threat of war with Russia. Could there possibly be a push to delay the elections or cancel the elections if we're in some type of full-scale war with Russia? Well, don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Just start picking up the pace of your personal preps. We're going to be talking today about the Project 223 Group Preparedness Plan, a plan to help you and your family be ready for any tough times that may come ahead. So sit back, get ready to have a great episode with us on the Project 223 podcast. Well, I'm so glad you're with us today. It's going to be a great episode. First off, we're going to start with our tradition. We're starting off new is the non-alcoholic beer of the day. And today we've got a nice cold Athletic Brewing Company Run Wild IPA. And this was a very tasty non-alcoholic beer, really thirst quenching on a hot summer day. So enjoying that. Pick one of those up at the store and give it a try if you're into that. Also, too, we would like to share our Bible verse for the episode. And today, we're going to Proverbs again, Proverbs 29:18. And the verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's a very important verse that's very applicable to our today's subject, talking about vision, talking about having a plan. Also, you may have heard the verse out of 2 Hesitations 4:12. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That's not a real Bible verse, by the way. And the 7 P's, which is also a very popular one. Proper prior planning prevents piss poor performance. So all of those things are all saying the same thing. You need to have a plan. You need to have vision. You need to have goals and organization in your life so that you can get the most prepared as possible. And so today we're going to talk about, we're going to go back a little bit. Episode 4, we started to hit on the group preparedness plan that Project 223, we kind of started off our whole mission, our whole the project was on teaching and training people to be more prepared, to be more self-reliant in case of a natural disaster or emergency. And it started off teaching at our church and running classes, and we would teach things, some of the different classes we hosted on medical and on bug out bags, food supply, and things of that nature, self-defense. And those all started coming together, and as I realized with my own group, that we needed a little more organization, that we needed to not be so kind of just hit and miss and all over the board, but we needed to figure out what are all the different areas that we'd like to prepare for. And how can we be comprehensive in our preps? And so that was the birth of the group preparedness plan. The group preparedness plan consists of a plan summary guide that has checklists, and it also has 6 different modules with detailed explanations of each task and checkoff. So we're going to go through that. I'm just going to pull out the book, and it is in a process of being finished up, and I do want to make that available. I've had lots of people message me, email me, listeners, people that support the podcast financially and say, hey, we'd like that for our group. We'd like to be able to have something like that in our own church, our own preparedness group. I've even had guys take some of the stuff we've shared in the podcast and start to put together their own notes and their own program. Well, I want to have something that I can get to those people and say, hey, here's something already printed out, already ready to go that you can use to help grow your own group and your own people that you're dealing with. So anyways, we're going to hit on that a little bit today. A few of the questions that I've gotten from people that I'm close to, wondering when seeing the group preparedness plan, and one of the questions that comes up quite a bit is this a mandatory program for members of the group? So say if a group's adopting the group preparedness plan, is it mandatory? Does everybody have to do all the things in there? Is there going to be this burden of work for people that are busy? They've got families, young children, busy jobs. Is it going to be something that's, or even cost prohibitive? And the answer to that is no, it's not mandatory. Any group that you're a part of, unless you're in the U.S. military, is more than likely a voluntary group. So you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. But the whole purpose of this was not to put a burden on people, not to be put a heavy laden requirements on you, but to give you people a roadmap. It's to give people a plan, something they can look at for their own benefit, and it's not supposed to be a burden on anybody. Some people might ask, is there penalties for not participating? Am I going to get in trouble? Am I going to get negative demerits from the group? And the answer to that is no, there are no penalties. It's all about helping each other, growing together. It's funny how you can start out as a group that's all about supporting and building each other up, but then people think that that would change for some reason, and that's a resounding no. There's no penalties. If your group adopts this, it's something you're doing to benefit everybody and for their welfare and their well-being. And so somebody might ask, well, what are the benefits of doing a plan? Can't we just figure it out as we go along and just let it be organic and not have to have any kind of an organization or a written thing down? But there's a lot of benefits to having a plan ahead of time. One of those is that there's clear goals for each member of your group to work towards. I've had, in our particular group, people would come up and say, hey, a guy was asking me what he should be doing next. Between our trainings, he didn't know there was something he could be doing to improve his preparedness or follow along with where the group was at. And so this will give everybody a very clear idea of, hey, here's the options of things that you can do. Here are a whole bunch of ideas of next steps that you can take to improve your position, to improve your personal preparedness and your family's readiness. Another benefit is measuring your progress. You may seem like you're working nonstop with, you know, reading, watching YouTube videos and reading books and taking classes. And you might think, gosh, you know, I just don't feel like I'm prepared. But if you're able to look back and you have checklists and you are able to check things off and you can see your measured progress and realize that, hey, I'm a lot further ahead now than I was 5 years ago or 2 years ago or 6 months ago. And if you're not, if you look down and you say, gosh, I feel like I haven't gone anywhere in the last 6, 8 months, well, maybe that means you've gotten a little complacent and you might want to continue and pick up your pace a little bit. Remember, preparedness is a marathon. It's a long-term strategy of continually improving your position, learning more, gaining more knowledge, gaining more supplies or skills that you have that will help you should a dangerous situation arise, a disaster or emergency. Another benefit is that it brings balance to your preparedness. How many of you have met the prepper who has 5 years of food, water, and supplies, but doesn't have any firearms and is not able to protect themselves and their family? Or maybe that's all they have is guns, 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 and they don't know how to grow a garden, or they don't have any plan for backup water supply. So by having a preparedness plan that you could go through, it brings balance. It gives you, you're able to look and say, hey, each section has 3 tiers. And so if the tier 1 level is the basic level, that's kind of the entry level you go into. And ideally, you'd work your way across the base of preparedness and be in tier 1 in every level before you start really focusing on the upper levels in other categories. But maybe you're really into firearms and you're very knowledgeable and you might have a lot of the tier 2 level done, but you don't have anything done in medical. You don't know how to apply a tourniquet, how to bandage a wound, or things of that nature. So it would be good for you to be able to look and check off all the areas that you already have skills in and see, hey, I really need to work on my communications. It gives you focus and it gives you balance. Another benefit is that those with advanced skills in your group or your community can have better opportunities. So, for example, if you had somebody that had a medical need and you wanted to put together a small group of people to go help them, you would know that the people who are tier two or tier three level in the medical section would be the best ones to go to help in that situation. Or if your group needed to set up a communications plan, say there was a wildfire in your area where you live, and you wanted to set up some communications to help because the cell phones are down. Well, you know that those people that are in the higher levels in communications training and their skill levels, those would be the ones you would go to and put together a team with and bring out to help in that situation. So it gives you an opportunity to see who are the people that are skilled in certain areas. Also, it helps to organize your time as a group. Some groups get overscheduled and have so many trainings that people can't keep up with them all. But other groups can lag and slack off, and they might go weeks or months without doing anything. We don't want any of those extremes. We want to be balanced in our preparedness. So by having a plan, by having skills modules with certain specialty groups and having SMEs in those groups, you can plan out together your training calendar for the year. You can decide, hey, these are the days that we have available. Here's the different topics we need to cover. Spread those out throughout the year. And that way people aren't overburdened by having too many trainings, but they're also not sitting around going, we haven't done anything in 2 months now. And so that's another extreme we want to avoid. And another benefit, there's a lot of benefits, is it's good to be able to capture past progress for new members. So say in your community group, your CERT team, your mutual assistance group, you have a bunch of trainings that your group does, and then the next year you bring on some new members, new people in your neighborhood that join up. Well, you don't want to lose all that knowledge that was shared in the previous year. So to be able to have that documented and saved and put together, you can share that information with the new members. And so part of the group preparedness plan is that things are documented in each specialty area. You document these items, you save these trainings and the information, and that those can be easily shared with new members. And they can figure out, hey, what does everybody else have for skills and training that I should have that I don't have? And so that's a great benefit of the group preparedness plan. And also, competency and organization in your group will attract more valuable people to your community. Imagine somebody who's in a special operations community, military background, they come into your group and they start asking questions about your organization and you don't have any. And it's basically standing there kind of with your hands out saying, well, we just kind of do whatever we feel like and whatever comes up. That person might not be too impressed. But if they see that your group is organized, that you have a plan, that you have some discipline and organization, they're going to be a lot more likely to say, hey, this is a group that I want to be a part of, and I'm going to throw my lot in with them. So attracting valuable people to your organization and your group is another great benefit of the group preparedness plan. So without further ado, let's get into some of the meat of the GPP. Like we mentioned before, the first section is the general overview, the preparedness checkoff book. And in this book, there is an outline of each section. So the group preparedness plan, I'm just going to read right out of it. Project overview. This helpful guide will lay out a roadmap for your community to build the necessary skills, equipment, and attitude to maintain your current standard of living in the event of a minor or major catastrophe in your life. An added benefit is an improvement of your current standard of living even without significant problems to contend with. So think about this. If you and your family, I'm just talking right now. If you and your family learn how to grow gardens, you learn how to raise animals, you learn how to have a backup power in case of a You know, you're going to just be better prepared for life in general and enjoy yourself and be more confident in every area, even if there isn't an end of the world scenario. Back to the book. How it works. The main and subcategories of preparedness priorities cover the required subjects. So each member will complete the checkoff sheets in the group preparedness plan checkoff book to track your progress. You utilize the separate skill module handouts to guide your learning on each topic. This guide gives you the details and how to for each checkoff. So in the main group checkoff book, the summary book, it's going to tell you show all the different specialty categories. So I'm going to read off right now what the specialty categories are. And there's six of them. Category one is basic personal and family preparedness. Category two is planning and logistics preparedness. Category three is medical. Category four is communications. Category five, self-defense preparedness. And category six, mobility. And so for each of the specialty categories, there may be a subcategory. So for example, in the basic and personal family preparedness, subcategory one is personal gear. Subcategory two would be food, water, and shelter. Subcategory three is family disaster plan, and et cetera. It goes on. And so if I open it up to specialty group one, basic personal and family preparedness, I go into the first page and it says subcategory 1-1, personal gear. And so there's preparedness objectives. We've broken it down into three levels. Tier one is the basic level. Tier two is the intermediate level. And tier three is the advanced level. We've made tier one, basic level, something that everybody should be able to accomplish. It's easy enough and obtainable for everybody to be able to reach the tier one with a little bit of time and effort. On the other side, we've made the tier three advanced level something that's almost unobtainable by most people. So unless you are an expert for some reason in that category, you might not be able to obtain all of the tier three level. We didn't want it to be so easy that people could max it out easily. So in the medical section, unless you were a paramedic or a physician, you may never reach the tier three and complete the tier three level in the medical. And in comms, unless you are maybe a radio operator from the military or an HF ham radio operator, you might not reach tier three in the comms level. We wanted to make sure that it was obtainable for most people to make progress, but not to the point where it's so easy that people would get bored and not be able to move further. So under each subcategory, for example, personal gear, this is under the basic personal and family preparedness, there's preparedness objectives. And in the tier one, basic level, you'll see a bunch of bullet points that have a checkbox on the side of it. This is the progress place where you capture your progress. It's kind of like for those of you who've been in the military or in the fire service or something of that nature, like your probie book or your qual card if you qualified on submarines or on surface warfare. You'll have signatures that you'll need to obtain once you've learned a certain topic. And then once that whole thing was filled out, so for example, on nuclear submarines, it took us a year to qualify on submarines and get our Dolphins. We had to learn every system on the whole submarine, from the high-pressure air systems to the potable water systems to the battery bank, the diesel generator, the torpedo systems, the sonar system. You had to get at least a basic knowledge of every system on the entire submarine. Once you sat with the sonar tech and he shared with you about his watch station and you learned some basic things and showed some knowledge, he would sign off your checkbook. Once it was all complete, after a long and difficult process, you were able to get your Dolphins pinned on. The moment I was proud of, I should say, is getting those Dolphins pinned on my chest by my captain on the submarine. But for you, a citizen that's learning to be prepared, you have your own checklist. So for example, in the basic level, tier one, possess a utility mission gear inventory. Obtain security mission low profile gear inventory. Obtain a 3-day pack for every family member. Obtain minimum basic toolkit. Stock a minimum basic hygiene kit, 3-month supply. Start collecting junk silver for barter and trade. Have $500 cash in small bills. This is just an example of the tier one basic level in the personal gear section for basic personal and family preparedness. And then you may read that and say, well, what does that mean to possess the utility mission gear inventory? Well, that's where you would go to the skills module for specialty group one. So as I turn to my skills module, I open it up here, and under tier one, basic level, possess utility mission gear inventory. And so then it goes on to explain exactly what a utility mission is and what the gear is. So for example, a utility mission would be defined as any operation to work in a potentially hazardous zone. Required gear will allow the worker to avoid injury and be efficient while accomplishing assigned mission, urban or wilderness search and rescue, disaster relief, or manual labor. And so then it goes on to list the items in that gear inventory. A hat with a brim, a helmet and hard hat, safety glasses, goggles, or sunglasses, ANSI Z87 rated or equivalent, weather-dependent workwear, Carhartt-type jacket pants or coveralls, rain gear, high-visibility reflective vest, durable work gloves, sturdy boots, a two-way radio, a 3-day pack, etc. So you can see here what we're getting at. We're giving you a list of things to accomplish, and then we're telling you exactly what it takes to accomplish those things. Once you go through that personal family preparedness section, you should be a lot better prepared with your to take care of your family in case of disaster or an emergency as far as your personal preparedness goes. Some of the other sections in the other categories. So for example, let's go to category two, right? Planning and logistics. In the planning logistics section, we've got group support systems. We've also got intelligence. So maybe in the group support systems, it'd be something to the effect of on the tier one level of doing a team area study for your area, meeting with a team chaplain if you have a chaplain on your team, and discussing family and peer support that your group would provide for other people in your group, and also bringing your wife or partner to get-togethers and team family events. So there's a very comprehensive list of things that you can go through. Bouncing around a little bit, let's go to the medical preparedness skills module. So for the medical specialty group, we go down into our preparedness objectives on the basic level. Things like obtaining a basic home first aid kit, obtaining an IFAC for your pistol belt, attending first aid CPR class, attending stop the bleed training, and obtaining basic first aid manuals. So you may go down through those things and saying, I don't know what that is. What's an IFAC? Well, then you would go to your Skills Module 3 book, and you open that up, and you go down, and it says, obtain an IFAC for your pistol belt. And it tells you exactly what an IFAC is, an individual first aid kit, and what you would need in that, a pouch, chest seals, nasal pharyngeal airway, tourniquet, compression bandage, folded gauze, trauma shears. And then also, we suggest having some other small items like Band-Aids, Neosporin, butterfly strips, etc., in case you're in a longer-term field situation. So you're starting to get the picture here. Each specialty group has tier 1, 2, and 3 levels. Of those tier 1, 2, and 3 levels, there's checklists with specific tasks that need to be accomplished. And for each one of those tasks that you need a check off on, you can go to your skills module and read exactly what it is that needs to be done and explains to it. Also, backing up just a little bit, there's some organizational help for you in the group preparedness plan. So at the beginning, it talks about the different specialty categories that are involved. Then as you go to the back of the book, you start to see that there is also a group structure layout. And we've laid our structure out so that it's always good to have, we've talked about this before, When you have a group, you need to have some type of organization and leadership. So we've kind of laid ours out with a coordinator for the group with three advisors. And then each advisor is over two of the different specialty groups. So you can change that. You can lay your group out however you want. But we'll have a basic example of a layout you can use as far as building your group up. Also, there's a team roles and structure section and tells you exactly what each member of the team would be able to. For example, subject matter experts. In each specialty group, there'll be leaders that have high levels of training, knowledge, and skill. They oversee the specialty group members and will ensure appropriate training is scheduled and conducted. So that would be if you've got a paramedic, a physician's assistant, and a veterinary doctor in your group, well, they would be the best people to have for subject matter experts in your medical group. So as subject matter experts, they would be the ones in that group that decides exactly what kind of training you want to provide, that helps schedule that, and that also they would have other people in the group, say maybe there's some firefighter EMTs or other people that just have interest and knowledge and a little bit of knowledge of first aid and want to grow in that area. They would be part of that specialty group. And their job would be hosting trainings, planning trainings, things of that nature. Anything that pertained to the medical portion of your group would go through them. And so that's what the SMEs are all about. Also, too, there's some long-term team growth ideas in there talking about different ways to organize your group and how you can reach out and be a resource to your community. That's a little bit of an overview of the group preparedness plan being put together through Project 223. And the goal, the vision through this is it would help you as a preparedness-minded individual who's trying to build up community, who's trying to build up a network of people that can work together to help each other out. We've talked about it many times. No one's coming to save you when things start getting hairy. There's not enough first responders. There's not enough emergency workers out there to help you when times are going to get really bad. Are you able to take care of yourself and your family? Are you able to help out in your neighborhood and your community? How about in the larger community, your county, your church, those people? Do you want to see those people suffer? And do you want to see panic and fear when things start getting crazy? Or do you want to be able to be a force for good? Do you want to be confident and secure knowing that you've worked hard over many months and years, a little here, a little there, right? It's kind of like the rabbit and the tortoise story. The rabbit preppers, sometimes we see them, they get all excited, they go out, they buy guns, they do this, they do that, but then they slack off and they're not moving forward at a consistent pace. But you want to be like the tortoise. You want to be the steady and secure person who moves forward a little at a time, not being unbalanced in your life, not being crazy and overly zealous in certain areas, but then slacking off in others. But you want to have a balance. You want to be smart about how you plan and prepare. By utilizing the group preparedness plan, that should help you get ahead, start, and move forward wisely. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Project 223 podcast. It was great being with you. Enjoy the rest of your week. From the Eagle's Nest, the Bald Eagle is signing out. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail.